I can't speak for you, but I'm enjoying this seminar. God is blessing me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We've been talking about God's warning to pastors. Some people might hear things that I've been teaching and think that I have been very harsh. But if you read the Word of God, God's warning is stronger than anything I have said. He literally holds pastors accountable for the lives of the people in their church. We are not their savior, but we are to tend to the flock. Jesus died so they could be saved. We have a responsibility to honor His life, His death, His blood. Now please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. It's very critical we understand God's perspective of His own word. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, let's read verse 2.
Kumbukumbu la Torati ine, tusome mstari wa pili.
Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you.
Musi liongeze neno ni wa murulo wada msilipunguze mpate kuzishika amri za Bwana Mungu wenu ni waamuruzo.
Now turn to chapter 12 of Deuteronomy.
Kumbukumbu la Torati 12.
In chapter 12, God basically repeats himself in verse 32.
Katika mstari wa 32 Mungu anajirudia mwenyewe.
What things soever I command you, observe to do it, thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it.
Neno ni wagizalo lolote, liangalieni kulifanya, usiliongeze wala usilipunguze.
Now turn to Proverbs chapter 30.
Enda katika Methali 30.
Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar.
Usiongeze neno katika maneno yake, asije akakulaumu, asije akakulaumu, ukaonekana kuwa mwongo.
When it comes to ministering the Word of God, we cannot add to it or take away from it. There are many denominations in the world which add to the Word of God. There are many denominations in the world which take away from the Word of God. For example, I was raised in a church which told me you must be born again, that I had to put my faith in Jesus Christ alone. But that church also taught me these things. Healing is not for today. Healing is not for today. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not for today. Tongues are not for today. And other such things. They had taken away from the Word of God, no matter what God said. There is a There's a missionary I know who is preaching in a country in South America. He was way out in the jungle. He and a friend were preaching to a tribe of several hundred people. Day after day, they were teaching the people. The people had already been led to accept Jesus. But my friend was working to disciple these folks. He was teaching them about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. The next to the last night they were there, he and his friend showed up to minister. And they began teaching again about the infilling of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Up until this night, they had seen no results. But all of a sudden, something happened. The Holy Spirit moved on that congregation. And hundreds of people were filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in tongues. All night long, they were praying in tongues. The next day, the leaders of that tribe approached my friend. They said, "We don't know if you noticed something different last night." But there were no women or children in the service. They said the reason for that is this. We had planned to kill you and your friend. Because we thought you were preaching lies. The reason we thought you were preaching lies is this. The people who originally came to our tribe and taught us about Jesus and being born again gave us a Bible that we could read. And in the Bible they gave us all the references to the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues had been removed. We thought you were preaching lies. But something happened last night and we realized you were preaching truth. So we received the Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues. Whatever the group was that had originally led them to Jesus had translated the Bible into that tribe's language. But that group of people did not believe in speaking in tongues. So they just removed it from the Word of God. God says, "Don't do that." Leave the Bible as the Bible. Even if you don't understand everything, you don't take things out. This is the Word of God. It is settled forever in heaven. Heaven and earth will pass away. But His Word will never pass away. You cannot remove things just because you don't understand. There are many churches which add to the Word of God. They will include their traditions with the Word of God. There are some churches which have taught that when men attend church, they have to wear a necktie. But there are other churches which teach,
na kuna makanisa mengine yanafundisha,
when men attend church,
wanaume wakija kanisani,
they are forbidden to wear neckties.
Hawafai na waruhusiwi kuvaa tai.
The reason they say,
sababu ya kusema hivyo,
is because the necktie comes to a point,
maana ile tai inashuka paka mahali fulani,
and it's pointing people to hell.
Na inaonyesha watu jehanamu.
That is a true story. That is adding to the Word of God. God doesn't care if you wear a necktie. There are some churches which teach women cannot cut their hair, or they will go to hell. That is not in the Word of God. But all too often, we believe we know better, and so we add things to the Word of God. The Word of God is all we need. I do not need traditions added to the Word of God. I don't need the traditions of my denomination. I don't need the traditions of my culture. I need the tradition of God's truth. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Along with this, there are many preachers who try to mix the Old Testament law with our New Testament freedom. We have already learned this week that in Jesus Christ we have a new high priest. There was a disannulling of the law. There was a disannulling of the law. That we have a better covenant established upon better promises. When we understand those promises and we understand that new covenant, we live in greater freedom. There are many churches which teach, if you go to church on any other day but Saturday, you will go to hell. When you read the New Testament, especially the book of Hebrews, you find out that Saturday, the seventh day, is no longer the Sabbath. That Jesus Christ has become our Sabbath. The Sabbath day was symbolic of the rest we enter into when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That no longer do we have to follow ordinances, feasts, festivals, and sacrifices. But Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. And when I accept Him as my Lord and Savior, I have entered into the eternal Sabbath. And so now I can go to church any day of the week. And God is okay with that. This is why it's so important for us to understand what happened when we got born again. To understand the completed work of Jesus Christ. To understand what it means to live in the kingdom of God. We are not to have respect of feasts, festivals, and days. We are to have respect for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Please turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to look quickly at a passage we've already read. So far today, we have seen very much in Scripture where God has instructed the pastors to feed the flock. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 1, he says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Very briefly, all of us who are born again have become partakers of the glory of the born again life. In verse 2, he says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind."
Lichungeni kundi la Mungu lililo kwenu na kulisimamia si kwa kulazimishwa bali kwa hiari kama Mungu atakavyo.
We are to take responsibility of serving God by ministering to the flock.
Lazima tuchukue wajibu wa kumtumikia Mungu kwa kuhudumia kundi la Mungu.
We are to do it willingly.
Tufanye kwa hiari.
Not for filthy lucre.
Si kwa sababu ya tamaa au haja zetu.
There are many pastors who will accept the pastorate of a church if the church can pay him so much money. This is wrong. If you are a pastor, you do not follow after the money. You follow the leadership of Jesus Christ. And if he leads you to pastor a small church, you pastor that small church. If he leads you to pastor a large church, you pastor the large church. Your only concern is this: am I doing what my Savior says? So we are to feed the flock of God. You don't have to turn to this, but in Psalm 23 verse 5, it says, "The Lord prepares a table before us. The Lord is my shepherd. He prepares the table." As a pastor, my responsibility is to feast at the table of the Lord and then prepare that feast for the flock of God. The question is this: as a pastor, are you feeding the flock? Turn to John 21. John chapter 21. Jesus has been crucified and he has risen from the dead. He has appeared unto the apostles. And beginning in verse 15, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep."
Katika Kiswahili nasema, basi walipokwisha kula, Yesu akamwambia, Simoni Petro, je, Simoni wa Yohana, wewe wanipenda? kuliko hawa. Akamwambia naam Bwana, wewe wajua kuwa nakupenda. Akamwambia lisha wanakondoo wangu. Akamwambia tena mara ya pili, Simioni wa Yohana, walipenda? Akamwambia ndivyo Bwana, wewe wajua kuwa nakupenda. Akamwambia chunga kondoo zangu. Akamwambia mara ya tatu, Simioni wa Yohana, walipenda? Petro alihuzunika kwa vile alivyomwambia mara ya tatu, walipenda? Akamwambia Bwana, wewe wajua yote, wewe watambua ya kuwa na kupenda. Yesu akamwambia, lisha kondoo zangu.
Notice in 15, verse 15, he says, feed my lambs.
Angalia anasema, lisha kondoo wangu.
In verses 16 and 17, he says, feed my sheep.
Katika mstari wa 16, 17, anasema, lisha kondoo zangu.
What are lambs?
Wana kondoo ni nani?
Lambs are baby sheep.
Wale ni watoto wa kondoo.
What are sheep?
Na kondoo ni nani?
Lambs that have grown up.
Ni wale wana wa kondoo ambao wamekomaa sasa.
Jesus is saying that as pastors,
Yesu anasema kama wachungaji,
we have a responsibility to feed baby Christians.
Tunalo jukumu ya kuwalisha Wakristo wachanga.
And a responsibility to feed mature Christians.
Na pia jukumu la kuwalisha Wakristo waliokomaa.
This is extremely critical.
Hii ni muhimu sana.
Because in my lifetime,
katika maisha yangu,
I have encountered many pastors,
nimekutana na wachungaji wengi,
who seem totally incapable,
ambao hawana uwezo kabisa,
of truly feeding anybody.
Ya kulisha mtu yoyote.
There are a lot of men who have been promoted to be pastors.
Kuna watu wengi ambao wamepandishwa cheo kuwa wachungaji.
Because they can stand before a congregation.
Maana wanaweza kusimama mbele ya watu.
And preach a sermon with great enthusiasm.
Na ubiri ujumbe kwa msisimko mkubwa.
And motivate the people's emotions.
Na kuchangamsha hisia za watu.
And the people get very excited.
Watu wanachangamuka na furahia.
But when the service is over,
lakini ibada ikiisha,
they really haven't been fed.
Hawajalishwa.
I have seen many churches that have become very large churches because the pastor could stir their emotions. But I've heard the teaching of some of these pastors, and it is severely lacking. Jesus says we have a responsibility to feed the lambs and the sheep. Notice he says they are my lambs. He says they are my sheep. That means I need to feed them what he wants me to feed them. Please turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Verses 35 and 36. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd.
Naye Yesu alikuwa akizunguka katika miji yote na vijiji, akifundisha katika masinagogi yao na kuwahubiri habari njema ya ufalme na kuponya magonjwa yote na udhaifu wa kila aina. Na alipoona makutano aliwahurumia kwa sababu walikuwa wamechoka na kutawanyika kama kondoo wasio na mchungaji. Ndipo alipowaambia wanafunzi wake.
Now turn to Mark chapter 6.
Mark
chapter 6.
Marko 6.
And in Mark chapter 6,
Marko 6,
we'll read verses 33 and 34.
Mstari wa 34.
Mark 6, 33 and 34.
Matayo 6, 33 na 34.
And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out and saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach many things.
Wakaenda zao faraga mashuani mahali pasipokuwa na watu. Watu wakaona wakienda zao, na wengi wakatambua, wakaenda huko mbio kwa miguu toka miji yote, wakatangulia kufika. Naye aliposhuka mashuani akaona mkutano mkuu, akawahurumia kwa sababu walikuwa kama kondoo wasio na mchungaji, akaanza kuwafundisha mambo mengi.
I remember reading this many years ago.
Nakumbuka kusoma hii miaka mingi iliyopita.
And all of a sudden, something attracted my attention.
Na kitu fulani kikavutia hisia yangu.
Jesus said they were like sheep without a shepherd.
Yesu akasema walikuwa kama kondoo wasio na mchungaji.
However, they had all the priests.
Lakini walikuwa na makuhani wote.
They had all the Pharisees.
Walikuwa na mafarisayo hapo.
They had all of the scribes.
Walikuwa na waandishi wote hapo.
And yet Jesus said they were like sheep without a shepherd.
Lakini Yesu anasema walikuwa kama kondoo wasio na mchungaji.
And I wondered, why in the world would he say that?
Nikashangaa kwa nini Yesu aseme hivi.
It's because the religious leaders,
kwa sababu viongozi wa dini,
were not teaching what they were supposed to teach.
Walikuwa hawafundishi yaliyowapasa kufundisha.
Jesus confronted them more than once.
Yesu alikabiliana nao zaidi ya mara moja.
About how they had included traditions of man in the word of God.
Jinsi ambavyo walikuwa wameongezea tamaduni za wanadamu ndani ya neno la Mungu.
And had rendered the word of God of none effect.
Wakafanya neno la Mungu lisiwe na maana yoyote.
And in essence, what he's telling us is this.
Na kile anachotuambia hapa ni hiki.
When those in leadership began to teach traditions,
wakati watu walio katika uongozi wanaanza kufundisha tamaduni,
they are rendering the word of God of none effect.
Wanafanya neno la Mungu linakosa nguvu.
And they are no longer true shepherds to the sheep.
Na kwa hivyo sasa wao si wachungaji halisi kwa ajili ya kondoo.
As pastors, we must stay true to the word of God.
Kama wachungaji lazima tuzingatie neno la Mungu.
We have to lay aside the traditions.
Lazima tuweke pembeni mapokeo.
Even though we will receive criticism for doing that,
japo tutakosolewa kwa kufanya hivyo,
and deliver the word of God,
lakini tupeane neno la Mungu.
Please turn to Mark chapter 16.
Marko 16.
Mark chapter 16.
Marko 16.
And we'll begin reading in verse 15.
Mstari ule wa 15.
Jesus has risen from the dead.
Hapo Yesu amefufuka kutoka kwa wafu.
And he's getting ready to ascend back to the Father.
Na anajitayarisha kwenda juu mbinguni.
And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Nasema hivi, akawaambia, enendeni ulimwenguni mwote, mkahubiri injili kwa kila kiumbe. Aaminiye na kubatizwa ataokoka, asiyeamini atahukumiwa. Na ishara hizi zitafuatana nao waaminio. Kwa jina langu watatoa mapepo, watasema kwa lugha mpya, watashika nyoka, hata kunywa kitu cha kufisha, hata wakinywa kitu cha kufisha hakitawadhuru kabisa.
Many people teach that this passage is the Great Commission.
Watu wengi wanasoma kwamba hii ndio agizo kubwa la Bwana wetu Petro.
And it is true that we are to go into the world and preach the gospel. And it is true that these signs will follow those that believe. But this is only part of the Great Commission. We see more of it in Matthew chapter 28. So please turn to Matthew 28. In Matthew chapter 28, we'll read verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
Na Yesu akaja kwao, akasema nao, akawaambia, Nimepewa mamlaka yote mbinguni na duniani. Basi nendeni mkawafanye mataifa yote kuwa wanafunzi, mkiwabatiza kwa jina la Baba na la Mwana na la Roho Mtakatifu, na kuwafundisha kuyashika yote niliyowaamuru ninyi, na tazama mimi nipo pamoja nanyi siku zote hata utimilifu wa dahari.
So not only are we to go into all the world and preach the gospel, but we are to teach those who are saved, teaching them to observe everything that God has instructed. Getting people born again is just the beginning. I have been in crusades where the message of salvation is preached, and many people come to know Jesus as Savior. Then the preacher tells all these new converts, be sure you attend a Bible-believing church. But how in the world do those people know? They're new converts. How do they know what a Bible-believing church is? If you go to any church around and ask them, do you believe the Bible? They'll tell you yes. But does that mean they really believe it? This is why it is so critical for us to decide disciple people once they are born again. I want to read to you a prophecy that came forth several years ago. When did I say, Go ye into all the world and make spiritual babies and then abandon them to the God of this world, the devil? What would you think of someone who went to a slum apartment complex found a vacant, deserted apartment, birthed a baby there, and then abandoned the baby and left it in the filth to be crawled on by roaches and rats with no nourishment and no water? Yet my people do this all the time spiritually. I said, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And I mean the whole gospel, not just part of it. I said this gospel, all of it. Woe unto the man who refuses to preach the whole gospel, I will hold each of you responsible to see to it that the children you birth into the kingdom are taught and raised up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is a worldly spirit that causes parents to abandon their children. My plan is to get people born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and walking in faith and love. This is a perfect example of what happens too often. People are not discipled the way they should be. It is extremely critical that a pastor also have the calling of teacher. It is never God's perfect will for an evangelist to permanently pastor a church. There is a reason God has established the ministry of the pastor. All pastors should also be teachers. How else can a pastor adequately feed the flock? The question would be this. As a pastor, are you able to fulfill Matthew 28:20 to your church? I am not a gourmet chef. I am not a professional chef. I cannot prepare fancy meals. I might be able to fix you a sandwich or a bowl of soup, but I cannot prepare fancy meals. You do not want to hire me in your fancy restaurant to prepare fancy meals. I cannot feed people that way. There are many people in the body of Christ who are trying to pastor, but they're not called to pastor because they do not have the calling of teacher. A pastor has to be a teacher. An evangelist can pastor a church for a short time until God raises up a pastor and establishes him in that church. But an evangelist does not have the calling of teacher. A teacher must be able to teach line upon line and precept upon precept. A teacher must be able to break down every verse of Scripture and teach it very clearly to the people. He must prepare a meal that is clearly edible for all who sit down at the feast. A pastor must be a teacher. He must have both of those callings of God on his life. This would come as a shock to many Christians. It would come as a shock to many pastors. I have been asked over the years by many, many pastors, I would like you to come and teach a certain subject to my church. In my mind, I'm thinking you need to feast in the Word of God, listen to good teaching, make it a part of your life, then you teach it to the people. Because if you're a pastor, you should also have that calling of teacher, so that you can feed the flock of God. It is not my responsibility as a teacher to travel the world and teach every pastor's church. The pastors must teach their own people. At the same time, I do not know everything. I am still learning. And I praise God that there is still more to learn. Because that means there is more of God I can know. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And look at verses 19 through 22.
Waangalie mstari wa 19 hadi ule wa 22. Efeso 2.
Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit.
Basi tangu sasa ninyi si wageni wala wapitaji, bali ninyi ni wenyeji pamoja na watakatifu, watu wa nyumbani mwake Mungu, mmejengwa juu ya msingi wa mitume na manabii, naye Kristo Yesu mwenyewe ni jiwe kuu la pembeni. Katika yeye jengo lote linaunganishwa vema na kukua hata liwe hekalu takatifu katika Bwana.
Jesus has given to the apostles and prophets his word.
Yesu aliumpa mitume na manabii neno lake.
We now have the Bible
sasa tuko na Biblia
as a result of what Jesus has given.
Baada ya matokeo ya kila ambacho Yesu amepeana.
We are to teach from this foundation.
Tunahitaji kufundisha kutokana na misingi hii.
And in verse 21,
katika mstari wa 21,
where it says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord.
Abana sema katika yeye jengo lote linaunganishwa vema kuwa hata liwe hekalu takatifu katika Bwana.
Here is an image this presents.
Hii ndio mfano ambao andiko hili linaonyesha.
As a pastor and a teacher, I am teaching my congregation.
Kama mchungaji na mwalimu, ninafundisha kundi langu.
As a pastor and a teacher, you are teaching your congregation.
Kama mchungaji na mwalimu, unafundisha kundi langu.
We are teaching them the foundation given to us by the Lord.
Tunawafundisha misingi ambayo imepewa kwetu na Bwana.
We are only teaching the word of God.
Tunafundisha tu neno la Mungu.
We are not teaching the traditions of man.
Hatufundishi mapokeo ya wanadamu.
As I am teaching my church, those who hear and receive are growing spiritually. The same thing is happening in your church. Your church is growing and maturing. My church is growing and maturing. And then collectively, all of our churches are fitting together as the church of God.
Yanaunganika pamoja kama kanisa la Mungu.
And we begin walking in unity before God.
Tunajikuta tunafanya kazi katika umoja mbele za Mungu.
Believing, teaching and preaching the exact same thing.
Tukiamini, tukihubiri na kufundisha kitu kimoja ama kitu sawa.
This kind of unity in the church.
Aina hii ya umoja wa kanisa.
Is a door through which God's glory can move in this world.
Ndio mlango ambao unapitisha utukufu wa Mungu kutembea katika ulimwengu wa leo.
But when churches are fragmented in their doctrine.
Lakini wakati kila kanisa lina imani yake tofauti.
That kind of division hinders the flow of God's glory.
Aina hiyo ya mgawanyiko huzuia utukufu wa Mungu kutembea.
But God wants his glory known throughout this world.
Lakini Mungu anahitaji utukufu wake ujulikane ulimwenguni mzima.
This is why as pastors. It is extremely critical that we are all preaching and teaching only what is given by God in His Word. We've already seen in Matthew 7 that we are to build our house and our life upon the Word of God. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
Kwa sababu hiyo, mimi nami tangu nilipopata habari ya imani yenu katika Bwana Yesu na pendo lenu kwa watakatifu wote, siachi kutoa shukrani kwa ajili yenu nikiwakumbuka katika sala zangu. Mungu wa Bwana wetu Yesu Kristo, Baba wa utukufu, awape ninyi roho wa hekima na ya ufunuo katika kumjua yeye. Macho ya mioyo yenu yatiwe nuru, mjue tumaini la mwito wake, jinsi lilivyo na utajiri wa utukufu wa urithi wake katika watakatifu, jinsi ulivyo na ubora wa ukuu wa uweza ndani yetu tuaminio, jinsi ulivyo kwa kadri ya utendaji wa nguvu za uweza wake aliyotenda katika Kristo alipomfufua katika wafu, akamweka mkono wake wa kuume katika ulimwengu wa roho, juu sana kuliko ufalme wote na mamlaka na nguvu na usultani, na katika jina litajwalo, wala si ulimwenguni humu tu, bali katika ule ujao pia, akavitia vitu vyote chini ya miguu yake, akamweka awe kichwa juu ya vitu vyote kwa ajili ya kanisa, ambalo ndilo mwili wake, ukamilifu wake, anayekamilika kwa vyote katika vyote.
This is God's desire and will for all Christians.
Hii ndio tamanio la Mungu na mapenzi ya Mungu kwa Kristo wote.
He wants the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened.
Anataka macho yetu ya ufahamu itiwe nuru.
This enables us to understand more about His word and who He is.
Inatusaidia sana kuelewa zaidi kuhusu neno lake na kwamba yeye ni nani.
It helps us to understand the power of the resurrection life.
Inatusaidia kuelewa nguvu ya ufufuo ulio katika yeye.
As a pastor, it is my responsibility
kama mchungaji ni jukumu langu
to teach people out of this understanding.
Kufundisha watu kutokana na ufahamu huu.
But I have to first come to this understanding so I can teach it.
Lazima mimi binafsi kwanza nifikie ufahamu huu ndio niweze kufundisha.
The eyes of my understanding must be enlightened.
Macho ya ufahamu wangu lazima itiwe nuru.
So that I can minister out of that understanding.
Ili nikaweze kuhudumu kutokana na ufahamu huo.
Look in Ephesians chapter 3.
Waefeso 3.
In Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse
14.
For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
Nasema hivi, kwa hiyo nampigia Baba magoti, ambaye kwa jina lake ubaba wote wa mbinguni na duniani unaitwa. Awajalieni kwa kadri ya utajiri wa utukufu wake kufanywa imara katika nguvu kwa kazi ya roho wake katika utu wa ndani. Kristo akae mioyoni mwenu kwa imani, mkiwa na shina na misingi katika upendo, ili mpate kufahamu pamoja na watakatifu wote jinsi ulivyo upana na urefu na kimo na kina, na kujua upendo wake Kristo upitao ufahamu, kwa jinsi ulivyo mwingi, mpate kutimilika kwa utimilifu wote wa Mungu.
We are all born again out of God's love.
Wote tunazaliwa mara ya pili kutokana na upendo wa Mungu.
But that doesn't mean we are rooted and grounded in love.
Na hiyo haimaanishi tayari tumeshaweka shina ndani ya upendo.
We know that God loves us.
Tunajua kwamba Mungu anatupenda.
But it doesn't mean we understand the love of God.
Na hiyo haimaanishi kwamba tayari tunaufahamu kuhusu upendo wa Mungu.
The Bible says in 1 John.
Biblia inasema katika Yohana wa kwanza.
God is love.
Mungu ni upendo.
That's hard for us to understand.
Hiyo ni ngumu kuelewa.
We know He loves us.
Tunajua anatupenda.
But He is love.
Lakini yeye ni upendo.
That means He can never stop loving us.
Ina maana kwamba hawezi kuacha kutupenda.
While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Wakati tulikuwa wenye dhambi, Kristo alitufia.
Out of God's love, He died on the cross for us.
Kutokana na upendo wa Mungu, alitufia msalabani.
As a pastor and a teacher,
kama mwalimu na mchungaji,
it is my responsibility to understand the love of God.
Ni jukumu langu kuelewa upendo wa Mungu.
Not just know that God loves me,
sio kujua tu kwamba Mungu ananipenda,
but to understand that love,
lakini kuelewa huo upendo,
and to be rooted and grounded in that love,
na kuweza kutiwa kuweka shina langu ndani ya hiyo upendo.
So that everything I do in my life and ministry,
ili kila kitu ninachokifanya kwa maisha yangu na huduma,
is birthed out of that love.
Kinazaliwa kutoka kwa ile upendo wa Mungu.
And this is how I am to teach the people in my church.
Na hivyo ndivyo nitakuwa uweza wa kufundisha watu wangu kanisani.
Now look in Colossians chapter 1.
Wakolosai 1.
Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with all the fullness of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
Nasema hivi, kwa sababu hiyo, sisi nasi, tangu siku ile tuliposikia, hatuachi kufanya maombi na dua kwa ajili yenu, ili mjazwe maarifa na mapenzi katika mapenzi yake, katika hekima yote na ufahamu wa rohoni, mwenende kama ulivyo wajibu wenu kwa Bwana, mkipendeza kabisa, mkizaa matunda kwa kila kazi njema na kuzidi katika maarifa ya Mungu, mkiwezeshwa na uwezo wote kwa kadri ya nguvu ya utukufu wake, mpate kuwa na saburi ya kila namna na uvumilivu pamoja na furaha, mkimshukuru Baba aliyewastahilisha kupokea sehemu ya urithi wa watakatifu katika nuru, aliwatoa katika nguvu za giza, akawahamisha na kuwaingiza katika ufalme wa mwana wa upendo, wapendo lake, ambaye katika yeye tuna ukombozi, yani msamaha wa dhambi. Naye ni mfano wa Mungu asionekana, mzaliwa wa kwanza wa viumbe vyote.
As a pastor, I need this wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Kama mchungaji, nahitaji hekima hii na ufahamu wa kiroho.
So that I can teach the people how to get this wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Ili nikaweze kufundisha watu jinsi ya kupata hekima hii na ufahamu wa kiroho.
I must be able to teach them how to walk worthy of the Lord.
Lazima niwe na uwezo wa kuwafundisha jinsi ya kutembea inavyostahili kwa Bwana.
How to be fruitful in every good work.
Jinsi ya kuwa watu wenye matunda mema katika kila kazi.
How to increase in the knowledge of God. How to see all of this fulfilled in their lives. If I am not able to teach this passage to the people, then I'm not able to clearly feed them with this information. This is why it is so important that a pastor be able to teach, so that he can lead the flock through the pasture of every verse, so they can feed on the nourishment God has provided. And as we continue in this seminar, we're going to learn how to study and meditate the Word of God, so we can teach it to the people in our churches. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Would you please stand? Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Father, for your word.
Asante Baba kwa ajili ya neno lako.
It is going forth.
Inasonga mbele.
It will not return void.
Haiwezi kurudi bure.
And it will accomplish your will in our lives.
Itatimiza mapenzi yako ndani ya maisha yetu.
We thank you for this food we're going to be eating.
Nakushukuru kwa chakula hiki ambacho tunaenda kula.
We call it blessed.
Nasema kimebarikiwa.
And we receive it as a blessing.
Na tunakipokea kama baraka.
In Jesus' name.
Katika jina la Yesu.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.